Welcome to your WGAT A-Level Physics Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most beautifully logical topics in the entire A-Level specification, magnetic induction. This is topic 3.4 in Unit 4, and it's a topic that rewards candidates who truly understand the physics rather than just memorizing formulas. So settle in, grab a pen, and let's get started. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to define magnetic flux linkage precisely, apply Faraday's law and Lenz's law with confidence, tackle graphical questions that trip up so many candidates, and walk into your WJ exam knowing exactly what the mark scheme is looking for. Let's start with the big picture. Magnetic induction is the phenomenon by which a changing magnetic field induces an electromotive force, that's an EMF, in a conductor. This is the principle behind every electrical generator on the planet. Every time you switch on a light, charge your phone, or use any electrical device, you're benefiting from magnetic induction. Michael Faraday discovered this in 1831, and it remains one of the most important discoveries in the history of science. Now, before we can talk about Faraday's law, we need to be crystal clear about magnetic flux and magnetic flux linkage, because this is where so many candidates lose marks. Magnetic flux, given the symbol capital Phi, is defined as the product of the magnetic flux density B and the area A through which the field passes, multiplied by the cosine of the angle theta between the magnetic field direction and the normal to the surface. So phi equals B times A times cosine theta, the unit of magnetic flux is the Weber symbol WB. Now here's the critical distinction. Magnetic flux linkage is the total flux threading through a coil of N turns. It equals N times phi, which gives us N times B times A times cosine theta. The unit is also Weber's, or sometimes Weber turns. Why does this matter? Because Faraday's law is stated in terms of flux linkage, not just flux. If you define it in terms of flux alone and forget the N, you will lose marks. The WJETC mark scheme is explicit about this. Let me say that again. Always use flux linkage. N times phi, not just flux. Now, what about that angle theta? This is another classic source of errors. Theta is the angle between the normal to the coil and the magnetic field direction. It is not the angle between the plane of the coil and the field. These are complementary angles. They add up to 90 degrees. So using the wrong one gives you a completely different answer. When the coil is perpendicular to the field, theta equals 0, cosine of 0 is 1, and flux linkage is at its maximum. When the coil is parallel to the field, theta equals 90 degrees, cosine of 90 is 0, and flux linkage is 0. Visualize this. Imagine holding a hoop in a stream of water. When the hoop faces the flow directly, maximum water passes through. Tilt it sideways, and no water passes through. That's exactly how flux works. Right, now let's talk about Faraday's law itself. Faraday's law states that the induced EMF in a circuit is directly proportional to the rate of change of magnetic flux linkage. Mathematically, epsilon equals negative d of n phi divided by dt. That's the EMF equals the negative of the rate of change of flux linkage with respect to time. For WJAA, you need to be able to state this law precisely. The key words are induced EMF, directly proportional, rate of change, and magnetic flux linkage. Get all four of those in your answer, and you'll pick up the marks. Now, what about that negative sign? This is where Lenz's law comes in, and it's absolutely beautiful physics. Lenz's law states that the direction of the induced EMF is such that it opposes the change in flux linkage that caused it. The negative sign in Faraday's equation represents Lenz's law mathematically. But here's what the WJEC mark scheme specifically wants you to say. The direction of the induced current creates a magnetic field that opposes the change in flux linkage, and this is a consequence of the conservation of energy. This is crucial. If the induced current didn't oppose the change, you'd be getting energy for free. The magnet would accelerate as it approached the coil, inducing more current, which would accelerate it further. That would violate conservation of energy. So nature prevents this by making the induced current create an opposing force. Think of it this way. If you push a north pole towards a coil, the coil responds by becoming a north pole on the face nearest the magnet, like poles repel, so you have to do work to push the magnet in. That work done is what provides the electrical energy. You never get something for nothing. For exam questions about Lenz's law, always include three elements: the direction of the induced current, the magnetic field it creates, and the opposition to the change. And always link it to conservation of energy for full marks. Now, let's look at a special case that comes up frequently. A conductor moving through a magnetic field. When a straight conductor of length L moves with velocity V perpendicular to a magnetic field of flux density B, the induced EMF is given by epsilon equals B times L times V. This is sometimes called the motional EMF formula. This formula is derived from Faraday's law. As the conductor moves a distance delta x and time delta t, it sweeps out an area L times delta x. The change in flux is B times L times delta x, and dividing by delta t gives B times L times ver, so it's entirely consistent with Faraday's law, just a convenient shortcut for this specific geometry. When do you use BLV versus the full Faraday's law? Use BLV when you have a conductor cutting through field lines, a rod moving on rails, for example. Use Faraday's law when you have a coil and the flux through it is changing. The WJIE exam tip is, identify whether you're dealing with a conductor cutting field lines or a coil experiencing changing flux, and choose your formula accordingly. Now let's talk about graphs, because WJIEC loves graphical questions on this topic. If you have a flux time graph, the induced EMF at any point is equal to the negative gradient of that graph. This is directly from Faraday's law. So if flux is increasing steeply, EMF is large and negative. If flux is constant, EMF is zero. If flux is decreasing, EMF is positive. For a coil rotating at constant angular velocity omega in a uniform field, the flux linkage varies as n phi equals ban cosine of omega t. Differentiating this with respect to time gives epsilon equals ban omega times sine of omega t. So the MEMIS is a sine wave. When the flux linkage is a cosine wave, they are 90 degrees out of phase. When flux is at its maximum, MF is zero. When flux is passing through zero, MF is at its maximum. This makes physical sense. MF is greatest when the coil is cutting through field lines most rapidly, which is when it's parallel to the field. The peak MF is BAN omega. Increasing any of BAN or omega will increase the peak MF. This is how generators are designed. More turns, stronger magnets, larger coils, faster rotation. Now let's move on to exam technique and common mistakes. The most common mistake, and I cannot stress this enough, is defining Faraday's law in terms of magnetic flux rather than magnetic flux linkage. Write it as the induced MF equals the rate of change of n phi, not just phi. If you drop the n, you drop the mark. Second common mistake, using the wrong angle in flux calculations. Remember, theta is the angle between the normal to the coil and the field, not the angle between the plane and the field. If you're ever unsure, draw a diagram and mark the normal explicitly. Third mistake, confusing the left-hand rule and the right-hand rule. The left-hand rule, FBI rule, is for motors. It gives you the force on a current-carrying conductor in a field. The right-hand rule, or the generator rule, is for finding the direction of induced current when a conductor moves through a field. In electromagnetic induction, you're generating electricity, so you need the right-hand rule or Fleming's right-hand rule. Fourth mistake, stating Lenz's law as simply opposes the change without specifying what opposes what. The direction of the induced EMF, and therefore the induced current, is such that the magnetic field it creates opposes the change in flux linkage. Be specific. Now for our quickfire recall quiz, I'll ask a question, pause, then give the answer. Try to answer before I do. Question 1. What is the unit of magnetic flux? The Weber, symbol W by. Question 2. State Faraday's law in words. The induced EMF is directly proportional to the rate of change of magnetic flux linkage. Question 3. What does the negative sign in Faraday's equation represent? Lenz's law. The induced EMF opposes the change in flux linkage. Question 4. A coil has 200 turns, area 0.05 meters squared in a field of 0.3 tesla with the normal parallel to the field. What is the flux linkage? N phi equals BAN cosine theta. Theta is 0, cosine 0 is 1. So N phi equals 0.3 times 0.05 times 200 equals 3 Webers. Question 5. If flux linkage varies as a cosine function of time, what is the shape of the EMF time graph? A sine wave, specifically a negative sine wave, since EMF equals negative d of n phi by dt. Let's wrap up with the key things to take away from today's session. 1. Always use flux linkage, n times phi, not just flux in Faraday's law. 2. Theta in the formula n phi equals ban cosine theta is the angle between the normal to the coil and the field direction. 3. The negative sign in Faraday's law represents Lenz's law, which is a consequence of conservation of energy. 4. For a conductor cutting field lines, use epsilon equals BLV. For a coil with changing flux, use Faraday's law. 5. On a flux time graph, the EMF is the negative gradient. If flux is a cosine wave, EMF is a negative sine wave. 6. When explaining Lenz's law, always reference conservation of energy. Work must be done against the opposing magnetic force to induce the current. 7. The peak EMF of a rotating coil is BAN omega. Know what each symbol represents and how changing each one affects the output. That's everything for today's session on magnetic induction. This is a topic where understanding the physics deeply will serve you far better than rote memorization. Go back and work through past WJHE papers on this topic, paying close attention to the mark schemes. Good luck in your exams. You've got this.